If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
With the current state that the Chicago Bulls are in, a lot of Bulls fans are kind of revisiting a lot of the moves that the Chicago Bulls made to put this team together. And one of the moves that stand out as kind of the biggest L is the Nikola Vucevic trade. We're going to look at that trade, and now that kind of all the pieces that are in that trade are settled and who they're going to be, we're going to take a look at that trade now and kind of reframe that and say why it is one of the biggest L's that this front office could have started rebuilding this roster off with. We're also going to talk about the weak draft, a thing that's thrown towards this draft, and how previous week drafts has actually bucked that trend. And we're going to look at why the DeMar DeRozan situation is one of the most important moves that the Bulls can make this offseason. And an interesting signing trade scenario popped up with the Los Angeles Clippers. We're getting into all that, plus a little bit of the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host here, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that being said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. So I want to look at the Nikola Vucevic trade, and I know this is it's a clear L. I think everybody at this point understands that the Bulls lost that trade. It is what it is. The Bulls got Nikola Vucevic in exchange for Vooch and Al-Farouq Aminu, in exchange for Wendell Carter, Otto Porter Jr., the 2021 first-round pick, and the 2023 first-round pick. And so now that we've kind of, we know exactly what this trade is, right? Jet Howard, who was picked in last year by the Orlando Magic, we still need to see what he's going to be. But the development of Franz Wagner is the one that I really want to stick to here and look at. Right? On top of that, we can look at the Wendell Carter portion. If you guys know, Wendell Carter isn't – I'm not mad that we missed out on Wendell Carter. But even with that said, per, the metric of estimated wins, during the span, Wendell Carter has produced 17.2 estimated wins over the span, while Nikola Vucevic, 15.1. So even that kind of makes that trade a little bit of a loss. But the bigger part that I want to look at is Franz Wagner. And the reason why in this, and this is why it's important, hugely important to get the draft right, which we're going to talk about also in the next segment. We talk about the weaker draft labels. But with that said, Franz Wagner just last season played 72 games. He averaged 19.7 points per game, 5.3 rebounds, 3.7 assists on 48% shooting. And, oh, by the way, he took 4.6 three-pointers per game and hit that at a 28% clip. That's the worst of his career. He's averaged 33% over his career. The previous 2 years were 35 and 36%. So he took a step back three-point shooting-wise last season, even though he took about the same amount that he took the year prior, which he hit it at a 36% clip. On top of that, over a steal per game last season as well. Basically, every year of his NBA career, he's averaged a steal per game on top of that. But The production of Franz Wagner last year, if you look at that and what that would have meant for the Chicago Bulls this year, that would have made Franz Wagner our second leading scorer for the Chicago Bulls. It would have put him right up there with Zach LaVine, who averaged 19.5 points per game, and Kobe White, who averaged 19.1 points per game overall last season. And then you had Nikola Vucevic in the top four at 18 points per game. But Franz Wagner would have been the Bulls' second best player last year, and a player at that that still has 1 year left on his rookie scale deal before you have to, he becomes an restricted free agent at the end of the 2024-25 season. This is why getting the draft right is hugely important. There's no guarantee that the Bulls would have taken Franz Wagner. I want to be clear there. I can't even say that I think the Bulls would have taken Franz Wagner. Now, was he an international prospect? Yes, things like that. But, you know, you just never know. The way that this front office is drafted, I don't remember who would have been the young, athletic, raw wing in that draft, but they might have gone that direction in it. But the way that Franz Wagner performed last season, like I said, that would have put him as the Bulls' second leading scorer last season, which is crazy to think that a player that was taken with our pick that we just traded away in a trade ended up turning in to that type of player for that Orlando Magic team. And, you know, Wendell is neither here nor there. Jet Howard right now, being a 6'6 guard, has some promise, but he didn't play a whole hell of a lot last season. Even with being an 11th overall pick, he only played 18 games. So there you go with Jet Howard. We don't know. This trade could get even worse still, depending on the development of like a Jet Howard. But this is why the Bulls in, you know, moves, and when we talk about things like the Bulls acquiring possibly more picks in a draft like this, or just in general over the next few years to kind of recoup what they lost, the Bulls lost a lot. And they lost pieces that could have absolutely helped this team. And that's on top of looking at Daniel Gafford and Derrick Jones Jr. And, you know, Derrick Jones Jr., would he have stayed, would he have not? But, like, looking at what those players have now meant to their teams that are about to start competing for an NBA title, right? So, at the end of the day, the Bulls have not evaluated talent correctly. That's talent that was on this roster. That's also using their assets correctly to try to build a team. And the Bulls moving off of their initial statement of we're going to build organically, we're going to build through the draft, and moving off of that and then trading at that trade deadline for an aging Nikola Vucevic, who, yes, was an all-star that year. They paid the price of trading for an all-star the year he was an all-star. It is what it is when it comes down to that, right? But them kind of not looking at the place that this team would have been, we probably would be, at worst, in the same situation that we are now, but more than likely better because of those young talents evolving, had the Bulls properly evaluated where they were and not try to come off of what they initially said they were going to do in building organically through the draft. And that is where this team, if they do go back to that, and this is why, like in yesterday's mailbag episode, this is not going to be a quick fix. I get it, and I see you guys, and I love the thought process that you guys put into it when you're like, oh, well, this is what the Bulls need to do. You trade this player for that player. You trade this player for picks. You pick that player, and then we're all, listen, I get it, and I understand it's all rooted in the thing of wanting to see this team be much better than what it has been, but we got to be realistic. The chances of that happening are extremely slim. That process of deals all in one offseason, this is going to take some time, and it does start with this year's draft, which is kind of leads us to our next topic that we want to get into. But before we get into that, let me know what you guys think. Like, hearing that Franz Wagner would have been, per statistics, the second best player for the Chicago Bulls last year, how does that make you kind of relook at that trade? If it even does, it sucked either way, right? But that, and again, like I said, that's if the Bulls had even drafted Franz Wagner. And then if they did draft him, would they have developed him like the Orlando Magic did? But by the way, the Orlando Magic went right into playing Franz Wagner again, because when you're a young team not competing for much, you play your young guys and let them go through their sink or swim moments to develop, which is something that this team has not done consistently, which has definitely held this team back at times, is the fact that our rookies just, we don't throw them out there. And I get it. We have been trying to compete and get playoff spots. When you look at, for example, Franz Wagner started all 79 games he played his rookie year, playing over 30 minutes per game. And you know, even that motive that some people have when it comes to the Chicago Bulls is saying, oh, well, we're not going to play our rookies. I would assume when Patrick Williams played right away. Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips, way more raw prospects. They didn't, but we'll end up seeing what happens with this year's prospects. But to get to this draft, right? So many, and the reason why I want to have this conversation is that so many Bulls fans have used the rhetoric that is not that they're creating, but that, you know, the national media creates in talking about this draft as saying, well, this is a weak draft, which means it's a throwaway draft. There's no good talent in the draft. I want to talk about the last time that a draft was labeled weak coming into the draft. And that's the 2020 draft. The 2020 draft, which at that point was looked at as an all-time weak draft. Does that not sound like the 2024 draft? But that draft ended up producing Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Maxey, Tyrese Halliburton, LaMelo Ball, Desmond Bane, Devin Vassell, Jaden McDaniels, Emmanuel Quickley. Now, while those players aren't players that you're looking at and saying, except Anthony Edwards, right? Maybe Tyrese Halliburton, are players that you're building your whole entire franchise just around their skill sets alone. Those are still young, promising players that came out of a draft that was labeled at that point in time one of the weakest drafts and have turned into damn good players in the NBA level. And this is what I've been trying to bring home when I talk to a lot of you guys in the comment section that label it weak. I say, yeah, it's weak as far as the projection of superstar talent. That does not mean that players aren't going to come out of that draft that end up ascending to being damn good starters or even star-level players. It happens in that. And that players that I named, that doesn't mention other players that have been solid careers. Not great careers, but solid careers. Denny, Adjavia, like he's a solid player. He's a player that I like. Took a step back. That's because he's on a terrible team. Obi Toppin came out of this draft as well. Patrick Williams, there you go on Patrick Williams. Cole Anthony, a player that's starting to round out and showed a lot last season as well, right? These are other players that came out of this draft that was labeled as a weak draft. And don't get me wrong, when you look at like James Wiseman, the second overall pick in this draft, definitely disappointed and lived up to that. But all I'm saying is that drafts that are labeled weak drafts still typically produce some damn good talent in it. It's if you have the right situation, the right scouting staff to pick the right talent in those drafts. And that's where, you know, I have my concerns at with the Chicago Bulls. Will they be able to find the right talent in those drafts is the biggest question there. Another draft that was looked at as a weak draft coming into it, the 2013 draft, which produced Giannis Antetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert, CJ McCollum, Steven Adams, KCP was out of that draft as well, Dennis Schroeder, Victor Oladipo, Tim Hardaway Jr., Reggie Bullock, Mason Plumlee, Andre Roberson, who's out the league now, right? But solid players that absolutely were able to stick around and have an impact in the NBA at points in their career, they came out of that draft, which was labeled as a weak draft as well. And that's what you guys know. I'm here to somebody to get truth and to bust narratives at times, right? Now, could this draft end up actually being a draft where no star-level talent comes out of? Absolutely. There's always that chance of it. But then you have a draft like the 2011 draft. That draft was looked at as a weak draft. Now, Kyrie Irving was clearly the best one out of that, and he did come out and step out in that draft, but you still had other players that ended up putting together solid careers. Klay Thompson came out of that draft, right? Enes Kanter, who's out of the NBA now, but you'd be remiss to say that he didn't put together a solid NBA career. Kawhi Leonard came out of that draft. Hell, Nikola Vucevic came out of that draft to end up being an all-star. The Morris twins came out of that draft as well. Tobias Harris, again, I know now, at years later, we know where Tobias is now, but he's still a player that absolutely helped for his team for a long time. Nikola Mirotic came out of that draft, which things went the way that they went in that one, right? Of course, when it comes down to that. Jimmy Butler came out of that draft. So, like, this is what to say is that there have, when you talk about weak drafts, it's just saying that the projected, when you're looking at these players and projecting their ability to be a superstar or franchise-changing talent, means that people are looking at them saying, hey, they're cool, but I don't think they're going to change a franchise, but there is still some talent. And the 2024 draft is no different than that. There is talent in this draft, and you got to stop. We have to stop using just what the national media is talking about and saying, oh, this is a weak draft, to then say, It's trash. There are no good players in this draft. The perspective, the perspective that they're coming from in that is, we don't think these guys are going to turn into superstars. And that's fine. That does not mean you're not getting damn good starters. It does not mean you're not getting solid players out of that. So let's stop with the, anytime you hear something about a player in this draft or the Bulls potentially moving up or anything, go default to what you're reading from the national media and them saying, oh, well, this is projected to be a weak draft. I just named three drafts, three in the last decade that were labeled as weak, as at that time, all labeled as some of all at all time weak. The 2020 draft was looked at as a completely and utter trash draft. For those of us that were around still doing, and I wasn't doing NBA shows by then, but those that followed us closely, a lot of the same narratives that we're hearing about this draft is the same things that we were hearing in 2020. But look at the talent level that came out of that draft. You just got to be one of the teams that scout well enough that finds that diamond in the rough in this draft. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. I know we've been doing a lot of draft coverage here, and with the hearing lately that the Bulls could be looking to trade up using Alex Caruso or using whatever, and Bulls fans saying, well, why are we trying to move up in a weak draft? You trust your scouting. And if the Bulls are scouting somebody that they truly think is going to be that diamond in the rough in this draft that could turn into a superstar, I, for one, commend them for trying to go aggressively at it, but they got to get it right. That's the thing in this, and that's where my trust for the Bulls falls short at, is that you got to get it right. And as of right now, I won't lie to you guys, I don't have very much trust for them to get it right, but I'm going to give them an opportunity to show me. And if they show it, and the Bulls end up finding that diamond in the rough in this draft, that is what can start helping correct this ship that our Bulls team is on, that we've been in this downward path for the last 3 years, worst record every single year for the last 3 years. So let's hope that the Bulls front office is starting to change that. And a big thing that could be in change of that is DeMar DeRozan's future with the Chicago Bulls. We all know, we've talked about it ad nauseum at this point in time, the Chicago Bulls reportedly offered a two-year, $40 million contract to the Chicago to DeMar DeRozan that he reportedly turned down. The max that the Bulls can offer him is $49.4 million. So right now, we don't know if DeMar DeRozan, it was the money or it was the years. Maybe he wants more long-term security. If he's going to stay with the Chicago Bulls team that seems to not be getting anywhere close to contending for a title. And the DeMar DeRozan decision is a big one for the Bulls this offseason. Of course, we've heard that Zach LaVine's trade value is the Bulls' asking price for Zach has dropped significantly, kind of proving that the Bulls in this offseason are looking to move on from Zach LaVine come hell or high water. But Alex Caruso, DeMar DeRozan, these are important decisions as well that the Chicago Bulls have to ask themselves in what direction they're going into with this roster. And frankly, if the Bulls did sign DeMar DeRozan, for example, for a 3-4 year deal, that paints a picture where you're looking at the Chicago Bulls and you're saying, all right, they're going to still try to go for that. Could they be wasting the prime years and the solid contracts that they have on Io and Kobe? Those brings about those questions. But if the Bulls were willing to move on from DeMar DeRozan and let him walk, that paints a picture that the Bulls are kind of going more towards doing what they initially said they were going to do when they came in here. Build organically over time through development and drafting well. And that could be the thing with that. Now, there's a recent article from Alex, I believe was the one who wrote the article, in regards to the Bulls potentially finding a sign-and-trade partner for DeMar DeRozan in the Los Angeles Clippers. We've heard that the Clippers do view DeMar DeRozan as a option if they decide to, if they lose Paul George in free agency. So this one does come from Aaron Kellerstrass as well. I said Alex before, so I want to give him credit. This comes from an article from him in which he mentions that the Clippers, because of where they are, could look to get a sign-and-trade done deal for DeMar DeRozan, which could include Norman Powell and PJ Tucker to make the contracts work. That kind of is the baseline in that. Now, that would be something if they decide to do that. Not that Norman Powell or PJ Tucker really moved the needle a whole hell of a lot for the Chicago Bulls, but you're at that point, you're getting something back rather than lose a player for nothing. And if the Clippers are bringing in DeMar DeRozan to add to their veteran core already, maybe they're looking to move on from like a PJ Tucker, which would just be a contract. Not that I'm really interested in what PJ Tucker would bring to the Chicago Bulls on the court, but Norman Powell is an interesting prospect there because of what, even at 31 years old, Norman Powell knows exactly who he is. 14 points per game on 48% shooting last year, 2.6 rebounds, 1.1 assists. This is a guy who gives effort on both sides of the ball as well. Shoots the three ball pretty decently at 43%, taking 5.1 per game. And, you know, it would be something where the Bulls are getting something back now that can help maybe come off the bench, add another veteran presence for a team that could use it. They could even flip Norman Powell later down the road if they decide to do that, maybe at the trade deadline, something like that. So that gives the Bulls another asset that they could be looking to do something with. So that's where you're getting with. Would the Clippers be willing to give that up, though? That's the overall question in a thing like this. He has 1 year left on his deal in 2025-26, other than this upcoming season. That year is a $20 million contract. So you got to be asking yourself something like that. And, you know, could you get a heavily protected first from them as well? You know, Aaron is I get where his thought process is in this. The Bulls would be extremely lucky to be able to get that. But we'll end up seeing, man. It's just something I wanted to talk about because I read it. And I said, that's an interesting prospect for the Chicago Bulls in the draft. And in this offseason, if they do lose DeMar DeRozan for nothing, we'll end up seeing what happens there. Now, before we go, we do got one email as well that I want to read. This one comes from David. David says this. Hey, Hayes, I hope you're doing well. I've been watching the channel and have been really enjoying your perspective on the draft and the draft players possible. Anyways, I didn't want to leave a whole voicemail over one question I have for you, so I thought I would write it here. I know you have an incredible understanding of the draft. I don't know about all that, but thank you. So maybe you can help me. Early this year, I was strongly thinking that Terrence Shannon Jr. would be a good fit for the Bulls since he brings such an elite level of shooting. However, as the year went on, I just noticed his draft stock started to slip more and more, so just gave up the idea of drafting him. Currently, he's now predicted to go 35th based off ESPN. How is that possible? Thought he was a top 15 player. Am I missing something? Could you explain what happened? Yeah, I've talked a little bit about this on the channel, and it's simply put, it's off the court stuff. He has a case going on, which, like I said, per the last things that I read, seems like he has a good chance of coming out of that on the right side, right, and it being dismissed. But he does have a serious case against him. And when you hear these mocks, right, as you get closer to the draft, it starts not just becoming about the talent. It starts also becoming about the intel that these draft experts are getting from some of the scouts, maybe some NBA execs, or kind of the feeling around players. And it seems like while, yes, Terrence Shannon Jr. was expected to go top 15, that now teams are a little bit iffy on him because of the case. Now, it's supposed to be settled. I believe they were supposed to go before the end of May, which we're now into June, and I haven't heard anything. But I do believe that, you know, it's going to be settled before the NBA draft happens, which maybe his stock goes back up. His draft combine, nothing's been bad there, but it's just off the court stuff with Terrence Shannon Jr. that is making teams kind of iffy about using a first round pick to go out and get that guy. So that's really what it comes down to when it comes to Terrence Shannon Jr. But I do think that they're going to be, if Terrence Shannon Jr. does go in the second round, he's going to be one of those players that absolutely outperforms that draft stock. And so we'll see what happens. There still are some talk of some teams that are willing to draft him at the first round. The Pelicans have been one at pick 21. The Denver Nuggets at pick 28. And the New York Knicks at pick 24 are kind of picks that are some teams rumored to be interested in Terrence Shannon Jr. around that time. When teams start calling in players for one-on-one workouts in their buildings, I wouldn't be surprised if you see him shoot back up between now and the actual draft just because of the things that I mentioned. But to answer your question, it's just the off-the-court stuff with Terrence Shannon Jr. that's leading him to that. So we'll see if he can beat that. And ultimately, if that does improve his draft stock. But he is a player that I've said, if he falls to the second round, I think the Bulls need to be on the phone to get a second-round pick, even if they have to spend money to get one, because that is a player that absolutely would be able to outplay their draft position if they're drafted in the second round. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. Thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See red if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.